Hello, Rotatoes. Welcome to Arc 2, Episode 3, Part 1. I'm Zach, and I'm here alone today. Jasper was here last week on his own, and so I'm here this week on my own. It's like in Scooby-Doo, you know how when one guy will like run through a door, and then someone will run through a different door in the back, and they just keep missing each other. So it's like Scooby, and then it's like a deep sea diver. And then, Shaggy goes through. None of them see each other. That's kind of what's happening right now. It's kind of exactly like that. So anyways, we're back here. Arc 2. The Rotators are heading across the Sapphire Lakes. They just encountered some pirates, which is not great. Not a great start to their adventure. But hopefully things will turn around at the creepy lock that they just got to. I have to imagine so. You've been great. It's been great talking to you. Great hanging out. Enjoy part one of episode 3 of Arc 2. Okay, later. Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast. I'm joined by the Rotators of the second arc, as always, so far, for the third time. Here we have them on clockwise on my screen. We have Allie Beardsley.
Hey, what's up?
Allie, of course, plays Nance, the human monk, 6'3", with an arrow in her butt. Next up. We got Turbine Spizzle Sink, a.k.a. Mike Trapp.
Hello.
Thank you.
that's all I have to say. I just have to say hello.
How many arrows does he have in his butt?
I have 5, but it's contraband. It's not stuck in. I'm like muling arrows.
Between your cheeks, yeah. You have stuck 5 arrows vertically that you're trying to sneak off the boat?
Walking very upright, real tiny steps, real clenched butt cheeks.
You're a little gnome.
None of them fall out.
And, a guy who has a arrow stuck in his arm, or did at one point, we have the Loxodon Druid, Grib, a.k.a. Jacob Weishockey.
Woo!
What's he going to say? What could he possibly say?
Weather!
Oh, I knew it!
It's here. Kept us waiting for a moment, but then, ooh.
I had a bit of an unstable connection, and I just had to, I just really guessed when the timing was on that.
Oh, God. Well, it's good to know that you immediately have an unstable connection, so hopefully this works out. Hopefully we can record.
I just found out I've been paying for 5G for 4 years and have not had access to it.
Whoa.
Got Is slammed it by AT&T. They just, I have like a dusty ass old router, and they're just like, oh, our bad.
Oh, miserable. Did you fart?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Can't wait for someone listening to this, if that stays in, going like, oh, yeah, who farted?
I feel like it's connected enough to my sentence that it's like you get that it's part of the sentiment and not somebody just like ripping ass.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of ripping ass, let's get into the recap of last episode.
Hell yeah.
We opened with a long reminiscing about high school hijinks.
Truly too long talked about high school. Truly 11 minutes of this 2-hour episode was dedicated to pre-actual episode talking about what we did in high school.
So now let's talk about middle school.
Oh my god.
God.
a lot more difficult.
I'm just gonna pull down my yearbook. I'm gonna put on the Ataris. I'm gonna get all misty eyed.
I remember in middle school. I'll do it.
I'm gonna stop you right there. We'll keep going with the recap, just because I know this is gonna be a doozy of an ep. Last episode, the Rotators set out from Salinport in hopes of making it to the far side of the Sapphire Lakes. Aboard the Seagrass, helmed by the turtle captain Yareth Squall Dancer, our team found themselves crewed up in order to gain passage to the distant shore. But annoying rich people and petty coworker drama wasn't all they had to put up with. No! Hopes for smooth sailing were immediately dashed when our crew was ambushed as they left the shores of Salinport. The Rotators found themselves in a battle of boats. Our heroes fended off a local pirate gang, known as the Saltbreakers, from overtaking their ship and who knows what else. The battle was long and intense. Grib called upon his fiery mushroom ally, Zwom. Nance cracked open a double down and took an arrow in the butt. Mop got his ass kicked, and Turbine used some old obelisk tech to hypnotize the enemy captain. With all the pirates defeated, the Seagrass was dangerously off course, but with the help of the Rotators, Yareth was narrowly able to avoid a series of disastrous rocky outcrops and an extremely pissed off giant crab through the quick actions and skills of the Rotators, letting them sail safely out further into the salty waters towards the next stop on their journey, the ancient canal locks connecting the two bodies of water. And that's where we are today. Okay, you guys, you find yourself, Jacob miming drinking a cup of tea at Allie, who just took a sip.
Of a real cup.
So you
it's very funny to imagine us being able to mime stuff at you that makes you laugh and fucks up your audio, but no one will know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's extremely helpful for me. you all find yourselves on the other side of this sort of dangerous stretch of water that you're on, past the pirates that you just recently defeated, in a more calm area of the salty waters of the East Sapphire Lakes. It's pretty much empty from here. Like, there's like maybe some distant islands far out to either side, but like you have a pretty clear path to what is obviously the next step of your journey, the canal locks between them. And it's like on the horizon, these canal locks. Yareth pipes up and is, you know, tells you guys that like,
we have a full night of sailing ahead before we get to the locks. Everyone take care of themselves. It's been a busy day. You know, we went through a lot. You see that crab? It was huge.
So
pissed off.
It was so pissed off. Extremely pissed off. Anyways, well, we're through all that. We have some time to kill between now and tomorrow when we hit the locks. So, yes, rest up. Great work, everybody.
I give a big round of applause.
Thank you. Wow. For me?
Thank sure. you.
Everybody's clapping for me.
Yareth's extremely touched. You really did something for his confidence.
Oh, great. I feel awkward when someone gives what seems like a big speech and no one really reacts, so just felt like applause is the right thing to do.
I start clapping for Turbine.
Wow.
Honestly,
wow. No,
that was a great point.
Wow, I actually do feel something, though.
I wish you didn't say that last part. I feel worse now.
He walks away.
I applaud.
Yes.
Rib has just been just sort of staring into the horizon with a like sort of like Saving Private Ryan high-pitched squeal in his ear.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, this is a different time for Grib. I mean, like, I guess I should ask everyone, like, you kind of have the night to do what you want to do before you, like, rest up. Like, is there anything anyone's trying to do and get into?
I think I beeline to Bexy, and I'm just like, wow, what happened? What is... Fill me in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's like, this
when
is...
When you say that, are you spelling it like T-H-I-N-K? You?
Sorry, what?
Are you saying thank you?
T-H-A-H-N-K. Thank you.
Oh,
that's
okay,
how you spell
okay,
it.
Great.
Look it up. Don't be an
okay,
idiot.
Yeah, you're right, okay. Bexy. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. this is like obviously the hardest charter I've ever been on for me personally. And like, whoa. Of course, like, on this trip where like I'm feeling worse, this is like the one where we go the furthest out we've ever been, and so that's like really upsetting for me. And like I've heard nothing but creepy things about these lockkeeper guy and the people who live out there, and it's like I don't think I should have to put up with that, and I think I should be firm with my boundaries.
Well, you know I always support you with your boundaries, Bexy. And I mean, like, what are the creepy things that you've been hearing about this lockkeeper guy?
I mean, like, nothing that specific, just that he is like just a nasty old man who doesn't treat his people correctly. Like, he's like a bad boss. Like, Yereth is gross, but he is not a bad boss. I'll say that.
Yereth is disgusting, but yeah, he's a really good boss. So you didn't go this far on your last trip when you were with Niles, Dave,
Connor,
de Blasio.
Are you talking about Connor?
Yeah, Connor, definitely.
Niles and Dave. I can't believe you brought up Niles.
I'm so sorry to bring up all of these exes of yours. I just get them confused. They all sound so hot, especially Niles.
I tried to cover up Niles' tattoo with Connor's tattoo, and it didn't work out.
That. Yeah, it kind of looks like
Connor's so much smaller
language.
Than Niles. Look, in fact, almost no ships go out this far. You need a permit that costs a lot of money to get to the Sapphire Lakes to cross through the canal. So like a lot of people can't afford it. So that's like kind of cool, I guess, to be on a vessel that is spending so much money, but like,
yeah,
whatever.
Clearly this rich family is paying for us to go super far. That's kind of great. And you're not rich, you say, right? Like, you wouldn't
not yet.
Happen to have a little extra cash on you, like, right now.
Like a buck? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, we could start out a buck, but it's going to take a little
I
bit
guess
more.
I have, like, a buck on... What are you going to spend? What are you going to use a buck
Thank
out here
you.
For?
Vending machine.
Okay. She gives you a buck.
Thanks so much. And then I stay there. Like, it would have been a lot less awkward if I took the dollar and left, but no, I stay and I just put the dollar in my pocket.
Well, she is too self-involved to even notice. She's gonna just keep talking about like her exes and what it's like to work on this boat.
Have you seen Cream? Should we go get her?
Have I seen Cream? I don't know. I think I heard some like skittering little paws somewhere around here.
I mean, that could have been anybody.
I mean, yeah. It's either Yereth or...
He's so gross, right, baby girl?
I'm saying it in a, like, I know I'm being kind of naughty way, and I can't believe you jumped on board.
Definitely.
So you guys continue to talk and look for Cream. What is everyone else doing?
I want to sort of like follow up on the fact that we just had a bunch of pirates board, and we knew that they were looking for someone, but we weren't sure who, right? That's sort of where we left off. Can I talk to? I don't know who would be the best person to talk to. Maybe I'll just talk to Grib. Sort of, I'll rendezvous with Grib and just sort of be like, who do you think they were looking for?
Oh. I'm not quite sure. I'm still
you okay? Are you okay?
I'm absolutely shell-shocked, I must say.
Oh, my.
I must say.
Was this you entering the first kill gang? God damn it.
Hashtag first kill gang. Hashtag first kill gang.
I must say it was my first kill. When I took this job, I expected to be doing simple things. Scraping barnacles, bringing in luggage. I did not think this was a deed that I would be participating in.
Do you want to grab a drink and talk about it or something?
Roll a insight check, Grib.
It's so small, I'm afraid to hug you. Oh, wow.
a natural one.
Yeah, this little kid should have a drink.
I don't normally participate in libations, but I suppose one couldn't hurt to help wash away this nightmare of a day.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm pretty into, like, a beer and whiskey sours, you know, those are kind of my jam.
Turbine, you sound like a sommelier.
Racking his brain trying to remember the two drinks he drank yesterday.
Jesus, what a fucking nightmare this has put us in. I guess you guys head to the bar. Todd is there and he's like serving. Todd is the bosun, but he's like, you know, it's a smaller crew, so he's like helping serve the Dugan family. Like, it feels like all of them are kind of, you know, lushes on a vacation cruise.
They're in the room with us?
There wouldn't be, like, if you're trying to get a drink, this would be the only place you can do it.
Great.
But Turbine sidles up to the bar and it's like, he looks like he's kind of putting on a show. Like, he's not as confident as he's pretending to be here, and sort of like bangs on the bar and is like, hot toddy, my man. A little libation to steal the nerves of my good friend Grib here. I scan the back to see if I can see, any words on any labels on any bottles behind the bar?
Are you like on a chair or
sure, yeah, but I'm like, it's like, you know, when you go into a bar and like the bottles are way in the back, you can't always really like get a clear view of them.
I mean, there are a bunch of dusty bottles, it's kind of hard to tell. There's like some like elven wine that is like probably made by humans and called elven wine, you know, like it's really like,
I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think Turbine knows anything about alcohol. He's just looking for something he can order, and I want to see if he's able to actually pick something out.
Before you order, Todd's going to cut you off and be like, guys, just make yourself a... I'm your coworker. I'm not going to make you... I'm serving the guests.
That sounds about right. Sorry, Todd.
Figure it out, okay?
Apologies. So I'll pop back and just pour us two little brandies or something.
Two little brandies.
I pick up a little brandy with two hands,
like a thimble, and
Jesse Dugan Senior is like out there, and he's like drinking some wine.
I cheers him.
He's like, all right, I love it. You guys clocked out.
You know it, buddy.
Hey, you know, I like to have a drink or two with my staff at our restaurant. This is a senior. He's basically saying the same thing as his son did. Yeah, you know, I'm a cool boss, as they say, but you know, it's like I think it just means you're sort of down to earth if you can have drink with the help, right?
Hell yeah, buddy.
And I love being called that. I love being called the help.
Awesome. Call you help.
Awesome.
You remind me of my friend Astrid.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Were you alarmed by the thing that went on today?
Do you want to make any kind of checks to do this? Like, is there a skill that you could?
Yes. I will.
I don't know where Cream is, but if they're, you know, around or underfoot, can they give him the help action?
So your question is, I don't know where my dog is, but could they possibly help
Grib?
Yeah.
I mean,
make a luck check to see if Cream is nearby.
Okay, 16?
Yeah, I guess Cream walks up.
Cream, a notable student of human nuance, will help us, help me with... I guess maybe like an insight or perception check just to sort of see, because I'm still sort of curious about what they were here for, and since these folks are very rich, that seems like a good guess for maybe if they're looking for a hostage or kidnapping or something like that.
I'll just do basic charisma, just like, I'm just trying to be chatty.
So I think it would be like a persuasion probably. And real quick, can you make an animal handling check?
Yeah, sure. Are you serious? Oh, yeah. Yes. Great. Yeah. Well, I rolled a 17 for... my charisma check, and I rolled a 14 for my animal handling.
So cool. You pick up Cream, you're holding it, and And then you roll that 17. Now you can roll it with advantage. Just roll another.
Yeah, 17.
Okay, so, like, holding the dog is, like, pretty disarming. It's a cute dachshund. And I'm sorry, Turbine, did you roll something?
I rolled just a perception, just to I'm like, Grib is talking, but I'm just sort of watching Mr. Duggan to sort of see if there's, like, if I can catch anything on his face.
Yeah,
that's
I guess it would be an insight if you could.
Insight, sure. I can do an insight instead. I mean, I guess it's all the same, really.
Okay.
It's all the same. So, yeah, we can just call it's the same modifier and everything. So we can call that insight instead. But I got a 16 there.
Okay. So on your insight check, you would notice that, like, yeah, he's pretty drunk. And it's probably because he was pretty nervous. He is, like, trying to do this, like, good old boy thing. But, like, it's, like, thinly veiled. Like, he was, like, kind of shocked. You would also know with that, like, he seems to be looking at his family, and they don't seem to really be noticing what's going on. Whatever's going on is
what
more
do you mean,
about
what's going on? Our conversation or what's going on the boat?
Like, they don't seem nervous. Like, they are on a trip, and he is on a trip for a reason, is kind of what it feels like. Grib, with that 17 persuasion, it seems like he's nervous, and he wants to talk about it, but he also kind of doesn't know what the, like, he wants to tell somebody something, like, a bad secret is kind of what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looks at you, and he kind of, like, he motions over to the side, and he just, like, wants to sidebar with Grib alone, I think. So
I just kind of take him by my arm, and it just sort of lugs around his shoulder, and it's so big it just makes him look small.
God.
The arm is just so curved that you almost lose the frame of his entire back.
Wow, you're a huge fella, aren't you? Man, I feel really safe in your arms.
Well, when you're on this ship, I will protect you at all costs.
So, I feel like since your staff, if I tell you something, you can't tell anyone. Is that okay?
That's ship rules, captain's rules.
I saw you absolutely scorch one of those pirates that came after us. It was something else. So, like, I'm telling you just because, like, I don't really, I think it might be helpful for you to know this, but I've really, as you might say, fucked up. I really fucked up bad. He's, like, sweating a little bit.
Tell Gribor.
So, like, if anybody asks you, I'll deny it completely, but
good, yes.
So, like, I'll be like, you're a fucking liar. I'll say that. I'll say those exact words if anyone.
Yeah, I'm a dirty rat fuck, a liar.
I'll say you're a nasty liar, and I'll say your character is out of line. But, so anyways, so, like, the families in Aurora Avenue, like, they're pretty, those are, you know, kind of the older families in our neighborhood, and there's a lot of decorum and a lot of, like, weird old alliances, and I've been working, you know, there's the kind of the two bigger families are the Vokes family and the Delchamp family, and I've been working under the Delchamp family for a really long time. They've been really good to me. They helped me start the Lord Dugan's restaurant and bar, because we have both, and on the side, well, you know, we've been dealing with the Vokes sometimes. I hit a point where I got myself in a little bit of trouble because I'm a, as you could say, a bit of a gambling addict. And
yes, there's the important part that sort of puts this all together.
I guess, you know, I earned a bit of a reputation as people would call me the Neverfold Gambler because I was so tough and tough on hands, you know? And
They called you the Neverfold Gambler because you were so tough, not because you would refuse to fold your hands even if you had a bad hand.
I don't fold because I'm tough.
I just want to be clear, it's because you're tough and not because you wouldn't fold even if you had a hand that it would probably behoove you to fold.
Yeah. Well, it turns out there's some logic to that because I really, I was gambling against the Vokes family and some other nefarious characters. And I lost bad. There's some tactical advantages to folding, it seems. And I was going to lose my restaurant, Lord Dugan's, and Roland Vokes ended up saying that I could keep it instead of making him, you know, instead of him taking it from me, he let me have it.
But at what cost?
Yeah, a bit of a cost. He said I had to do him a bit of a favor, which didn't feel like that big of a deal. I mean, at the time, it felt like a great idea. And then, the Delchamp family asked me to take a trip out to the far side of the Sapphire Lakes to have sort of a diplomatic meeting with the family that lives in the Kiptide Mountains next to the forest out there. And it's an older alliance between the Delchamps and the Cutlers. The Cutler family is a really powerful family that lives on the far side. I think the Delchamp family has drawn a lot of power from that one major family that's on that side of the waters. And, I'm on a scheduled diplomatic trip, and, Roland Vokes came up and asked me to take something across the waters for them, take a couple things.
What kind of things?
I don't know. I just tried to know as little as I possibly could about that and just kind of ignore it. And so I think when we were leaving, I think the Delchamp family caught wind of that and hired the Saltbreakers to come after us.
So you don't know what you're bringing to these families?
It's just the one family, the Cutlers, but I know that there's gifts from the Delchamp family in there and, you know, some other stuff, and I just left it at that.
It's some of the cargo on the ship then?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He nervously takes another big sip of his red wine. His teeth are completely red at this point.
Let's get absolutely hammered, friend. Let's get absolutely jacked up tonight.
I bet you can't finish that wine in 30 seconds.
Time me. And he just starts draining it.
So just to clarify.
One,
you're
two,
set up with the Delchamp, correct?
Sorry, what?
Are
you timing me or what?
I'm timing you.
And time.
35 seconds. Shit.
All right, you owe me a dollar.
I gave my last dollar to that lady. Wait, so what were you going to say?
Now, just... maybe it's the bit of the booth that's made these a little hazy to understand, but you are originally in the pockets of the Delchamp. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And the Volks, because of your debt, have made you sort of pull back on that rubber band. It's making you smack your own family a bit.
Yeah, I am absolutely fucked. Like, I had to work with my enemy.
It's almost like you don't have a clear alliance at all.
Well, not anymore. Jesus. I was trying to play like an analogy I will use, not as him, as like, he was just like a dumb mafia guy who overdealt his, you know, he overplayed his hand, mm-hmm. literally and figuratively. now he kind of doesn't have he has no clear route out of this at all. So yeah, you know, but I always figure it out, you know? I always figure it out. And it takes another sip of wine, like, clearly not going to figure it out.
Cool. Well, I should probably hit the hay.
Do you think anybody else would be coming for this cargo, or?
I don't think anybody else will come for the cargo. I think that they were just trying to stop us from leaving.
Where is the cargo?
I don't think you guys should go that stuff.
Well, I didn't say I was going to go through it. I just want to know where it is so it can be protected.
Do I still... When we were loading up, I kind of said that I was, like, keeping track of the cargo. Do I still remember where...
I mean, the cargo is in the cargo bay. Like, I think you guys would see where it went. I don't think you would know what was what, but you can...
Okay, see, I guess what I'm trying to clarify is, like, does he know it's a specified box or it's just, like, jumbled jammed in between all of the other stuff?
He does not know specifically what it is in. He's, like, not the kind of guy to have actually moved anything by himself. He probably couldn't even find his own stuff in there.
So it doesn't have a big tag that says, like, Dugan on it.
So his favor was very much like a, I'm going to look this way and you're going to do whatever you're going to do. So mm-hmm.
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. I cheers him, and I wish you luck, friend. And as long as you're on the ship, you'll be okay by me.
Awesome. And I'll call you a liar, so watch out.
Yes, I'm a dirty pig fuck liar.
He's confident in this plan. yeah, so what are y'all, I mean, are y'all gonna,
I feel like out? Yeah, can I slink on down to the cargo hold?
Cool. Just who else going to the cargo hold, by the way?
I mean, if you guys pass me and tell me the plan, I'll join, but I'm probably doing yoga.
Cream, tell Nance that we're going to the cargo bay.
That's great, yeah.
Cream comes up, tell Nancy,
meet us in
shoe.
The cargo bay.
I could do an animal handling check to scream at Cream to go get Nance.
Yeah, do it.
My animal handling isn't great. That's an 11.
Okay, Cream walks to the other side of the room.
Cream! Cream!
I guess I'll try and do a quick little animal handling check for the fun of it. Oh, absolutely. She stays on the other side of the room. I'll tell you what.
One of the other crew members, Xander, comes up and he's like, do you want me to go get Nance?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll do that. this guy, Xander, who you guys have barely talked to, goes and gets Nance. So your buds want you. I don't know why.
Oh, great.
They asked your dog to do it, but it didn't seem like a good idea. I don't know.
Yeah, she only takes her commands in French. Where is she?
Not sure. Probably in that room. I'll go find her. He goes
okay,
finds.
Thanks so much. Yeah, if you could go do that. Let her know I'm looking for her. Okay, I go back. Meet up with them.
So you guys find the cargo hold. You like, it's like the lower section of the ship. It's pretty dark in there. There's just a ton of like store goods in there that are just like generally the ship supplies. Make a perception check if you would.
Well, before we do our perception check, I'm just gonna cast Produce Flame to create a 10-foot radius dim light.
Cool. You do that. A little flame flickers around.
Ooh,
grid.
I got a nat 20 on that perception check.
Ooh. Awesome.
Holy shit, a nat 20? Okay. So you go into the ship. You can immediately tell what stuff was just the ship's stuff. And then you see the area where, like, the Dugan stuff came in. You know that they're, like, really rich people. They have, like, people do this for them. There's, like, a lot of personal effects here. Like, too much stuff for, like, one trip just because they're rich people. It's just how rich people travel. they have, like, a ton of clothes, like, some perfumes. Like, it's just, like, you know, fantasy rich people stuff.
There's like a water purifier in here. Useful, but it's weird.
But to the side, I think you would find on a nat 20, there's like a little bit of an area that's off to the side that there are some like nicer looking things that seem like gifts. And among them, in an area that feels like off a little bit to the side of that, they are all packed in a certain type of crate, and these crates look a little bit different, they are of like a different wood, and so it's like not from their personal effects. You see like a big case of wine, and then you find another crate that has next to what was from the Dugans, from the Delshamps, there are some items that look like really well made. There's you find like a package that has like this ornate like chain shirt in it. There's what seems like there's some stuff that seems like it came from the Dugans that are this type of item, like sort of a nicer gift. And then there are some things that are like the kind of similar quality looking gifts that are in a different package.
Can I open the stuff from in a different package?
Yeah, the ones that seem like they're not from the Dugan family.
Yeah.
You can open the lid if you'd like, and
yeah, I'll open the lid.
Cool. You open the lid. It's like kind of packed with hay, but there's a few things.
Guys, hay.
There's a few little boxes. There's a sword in there. You find it's like a scimitar with a sort of a black sheath. There's what looks like a little box with a ring in it. And there's this like ornate looking like silver shield. And then if you want to box, the other box had that, the one from the Dugan family has like this like metal chain shirt and a nice looking sword as well.
Got it.
Whoa.
So all that talk about like delivering items to families, like is there some sort of Are we delivering like a horse head into a into a bed here? Like, is there some significance to these items here? Can I do a history check, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I odds are you won't actually know exactly the intention here, just because
I'm not steeped in the history of.
Roll a check and see how you do.
Sure, probably not going to do it. That's a 12.
Yeah, I mean, you know that they're doing some sort of diplomatic mission, so they're probably just like kind of taking nice gifts.
Okay.
And that's what on the surface, what the Dugans are supposed to be doing. Beyond that, you can speculate on what the other stuff is.
Can I do an arcana check on the boxes?
Yeah.
16?
Without knowing what they are, you feel like there's probably some magic to this stuff. Do you have any spells or anything that you'd like to use? Or, I mean, is there anything that you have that would...
I don't have, like, any... Currently, I don't have any, like, identify or detect magic or anything like that.
That Xander guy followed you guys down there and is like, holy shit, look at all this stuff. Whoa. I actually read about something recently called, peacocking.
Yeah, tell me more.
So it's, like, this really cool shit where you get hot people to like you because you're wearing weird stuff because you look different. Like a peacock?
Because
you know how they wear weird shit, right?
Yeah, peacocks are always putting on weird shit every morning.
Yeah, it's like before they go out. Peacock puts on a big, like, furry hat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I might
a vest
something.
With a bunch of pins from local ballpark.
Xander, do you dare me to wear this shirt?
That metal shirt?
Yeah, do you dare me to wear this shirt?
Fuck yeah. I dare you.
All right,
I dare you, too.
I'm gonna fucking... Okay, Nance, I'm gonna do it.
It's going to break his small bones.
I put on the shirt.
Damn. You look so cool. It's, you look like you're mean about it, though. You look cool. The idea is to be mean, I think.
Oh, okay. Like, fuck you.
Wow. Perfect.
Wow, this is gonna... Now, how could you not like me after that?
Hell yeah, man. That's what I'm understanding about this. Yes.
You're telling me hot people will like me if I wear a metal shirt and tell them to go fuck themselves?
Absolutely.
I think I go up to Xander, I put my arm around him, and I'm like, hey, do you know anything about these Dugans? Because we're kind of wondering what all this is about. I mean, we're seeing some clothes maybe they brought for them, but it seems like a lot of swords.
I don't know. I don't fucking know what they brought. I mean, they're rich. It's rich people doing rich people shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's
no, like, card, right? Scroll. There's not, like, a little scroll that's like, I hope this gift finds you well, and here's why I sent it. Here's exactly why I sent it.
There is one like that from the Delchamp family without that. I mean, like, not exactly worded that way, but essentially saying, like, talking about the bond between them and pointing at their diplomatic partnership.
Okay. What do you guys think? Are we...
I mean, it seems like it's just like, at least the data that we have now, it seems like it's just like a bit of a shady weapons deal, which, you know, there's nothing really I feel like I'm going to get in the way of at this point. So I think I'm going to just try and pack everything back up and be like, let's be aware that this is on the ship.
Yeah, I think Turbine's probably in the same boat. It's like, I don't really have anything to track this or keep an eye on it, really. So, like, good to be aware of it, but also doesn't totally seem like I shouldn't take it. That's what I want to, but I shouldn't. So, yeah, I think, like, just sort of being vaguely aware of it feels right.
I think Nance is going to just quickly run her finger lightly over the swords. Like, are they sharpened? Are these, like, actual swords
scabbard.
For, like, fighting?
It's
can I
kind of
pull it out a little bit and be like, is it sharp? Is this, a weapon that can be used to hurt someone?
Yeah, I mean, you find that sword. It seems like a really nice, like, black-bladed scimitar. Like, it's a very, like, piratey-feeling weapon. It feels like a powerful sword.
Let's pack it up.
Cool.
But before we go, can I cast alarm on the cargo bay?
Hell yeah.
Cool. What's the language of that?
Basically, like, I can choose a door, window, or area within range that is no larger than a 20-foot cube, And basically, if any tiny or larger creature like touches it or comes into that area, it will either make a mental or audible alarm. So I'll just choose a mental one. It's basically, like, I cast it on the crate. So if anyone other than us touches the crate, I'll get a little like ping in my brain. Cool. It's like someone's touching the crate.
Awesome. Wait, so how long does it last, did you say?
That's a good ass question there, Zach.
5 minutes.
8 hours.
Okay.
Hell
cool.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, like, you guys pack it all up. You put that alarm spell on. Is there anything else you guys want to do before you go to sleep?
As I lay my head to rest, I pull out my satin envelope.
The coveted satin envelope.
Big reveal, big reveal.
And I know that I saw it earlier and that it was safe, but now that the day is finally wound down, I want to take one last look inside and make sure that everything's safe. Cool. And I peer in, and inside the satin envelope is a single seed. Rib sighs. Relief. My seed's there. He pats it, and he packs it back up, and he lays his head to rest.
Grib reseals his satin envelope that is, of course, a letter-like envelope that has a sticky point that he can lick and then close, and it is, of course, made of satin. That's exactly what he was, of course, describing.
Just flopping around as you're trying to lick it.
Extremely arousing.
This is Grib's memento seed, a seed that he had with him since he was born, and he assumes it's from where he's from, and he wants to plant it one day.
Amazing.
Cool.
Great. Well, you guys all go to sleep. There's like a little like hammocks, like a little crew quarters that you're all able to bunk up in. It's you know, a little awkward to sleep in these areas, and it's not super comfortable, but like you guys are completely beat, so that helps you fall right to sleep. The next morning,
do I wake up hard?
Should we long rest?
Do I wake up hard?
Yeah, you guys all get a long rest.
And then do we all wake up hard?
Yeah, all of us. Cream.
Oh, god damn it. Yeah, I don't know. Roll for it. What do you want me to say?
Six.
I'm not. I am not joking. Guess what I rolled?
Nat 20.
Man. I guess I'll roll a charisma to see if I wake up hard or not.
Nance is fucking stimulated.
She is stimming.
She's fucking stimming.
Well, I'll leave it up to everyone to describe this themselves if they want. I'm going to draw just a little boundary for myself there. I don't want to describe.
All right.
How hard people are.
That's fucking unbelievable.
The next morning, you wake up. Everyone feels great. Nance, will you roll a d12 for me?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, a one.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't sleep great. Like, you woke up and you feel worse. You all have the benefits of a long rest, but Nance, now your HP max is reduced by one. Yeah, roll an insight check if you want.
Please, yes. Okay. 18.
18? If you're trying to remember exactly what happened, like, yeah, there's a number of things it could have been, but 18 is good enough that, like, something about picking up that sword felt odd. As you all wake up, Yareth begins to, like, he has a little bell that he rings, and he's like, okay, everyone, all crew, to the deck. The other crew members rush up and approach the deck.
I scurry up behind them because I'm a good little boy and I got to be on time.
As you come up from under the ship, you look out and you on the deck are looking up at the massive locks ahead of you. As you get closer, you see you can really tell how much lower you guys are than the other lake. It feels like you're in a canyon beneath it. It feels like you're approaching like a big leaking wall, like edges of this canyon are like there's like little tiny waterfalls and streams throughout the distance of it, but as you know, from where you are, the only way to get above it or get up to it would be the lock in front of you, which feels like as you approach like basically like a castle. As you get closer, Tervant, you probably notice this like, in contrast to the obelisk, this is actually just seemingly like a really old man-made structure. Mm. It's like a huge, massive feat of engineering, but it's also, again, just really old, relatively straightforward technology. It doesn't have, like, you know, like electronics in it by any means.
Sure.
As you guys get closer, Yareth comes up to the crew and starts talking to them, and he takes in the gate itself, and he's like, I haven't taken a vessel this far in some time. Mostly people like to see the locks and then turn around. I don't think many people at all even get permission to cross the locks. Though, you know, of course our charter was paid for by the Dugan family, so we actually get to do it. But to be honest, the lockkeeper is kind of a jerk. I don't really like him. He has a reputation for treating his workers poorly, and he's just a grumpy old man. Smells weird. Strange guy. But what's nice is, actually, though, on the way back, we can just take one of the tributaries down. We can, we don't actually have to cross this again, so that's nice.
What do you mean by he's weird?
He's just, like, a weird guy. Like, okay. It feels like the guy who would, like, how am I gonna put this? Like, if you had a party, and by some miracle, he brought, like, a dish or some drinks.
Mm.
At the end of the party, having drinking a bunch of other people's drinks, he will take his drink back, maybe try to snag a few other things, definitely
put a little
some
sampler
food.
Pack together, but
yes,
did not really contribute to the, like, it was almost more of a deposit that he was going to take back, not really contributing to the spirit of the party.
That's not normal.
He'll probably ask to borrow a DVD, and then you will never see it again. He's horrified by this. So as you guys get closer, the first gate itself is fully open. The ship drifts into that area, kind of coasting now. The sails are down just because it's like you don't want to be going too fast. And as you get into the first lock, you're in a basically 100-foot tall box. And as you enter that area, you hear this really loud groaning noise, and at the turn of like a chain, as the gate behind you slowly closes, and then you don't hear or see anything. You guys are just stuck in this area.
Was that supposed to happen? Is there something that's supposed to open in front of us?
Actually, the water level would rise at this point, and we would just sort of, you know, we'd float up to the next level, so...
Ah, great.
Yes, Hark, Lockkeeper, we have permits from Solenport.
Hark!
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 Hark! Hark! Harold!
It's been about
Angel.
4.5 hours saying Hark. And if you're not familiar with locks, let me describe a little bit of how they work, just because people maybe don't know exactly how this works.
It's a smoked salmon that...
So it's a salmon that's been smoked... canal locks are like... if it's going to a higher elevation, this would look almost like a combination between of steps with like gates between each step... that on each gate is like a water elevator. And so you are at the bottom of that right now. Trying to get to the top of this. From where you are, you can't really see the other sections, but...
Where would the lockkeeper normally be? Because presumably the lockkeeper would be, like, handling the mechanisms or something.
Yeah. And
he's not responding to us saying, hark, I don't know what else we can do.
Perception checks, if you would.
Nat one on my roll.
I get a 14.
I rolled an 11.
Yeah, so you're just in this essentially like castle-like box and this lower water level. The water is like sloshing around. So pretty much all you can hear, it's like kind of an echoey water sloshing noise. There's like algae all over the walls. There's a couple crisscrossing like metal walkways that are grated so like water doesn't fill up the walkways. As the water is sloshing around you, Turbine, you got a 14, is that what you said?
Yes.
You hear the constant backdrop of these, like, these waves sloshing around this little compartment. But behind you on the gate that closed where you guys just came from, you kind of hear this weird sloshing accompanied by these like creaking steps. It's like a loud dripping noise that sounds like water, but different from what you're hearing constantly. It almost sounds like a sloshing bucket filled with water that has like a bunch of holes in it. You hear that pinging off of like the metal structures up there above you.
Guys, I hear a sloshing that sounds like a bucket with a bunch of holes in it.
Yareth looks like he's very astute. You see a form at the top of that gate. It looks like an older man, but something is off about his...
He's like a little weird.
He has stringy, greasy, long hair, and he's like balding, but it's all wet, and it's like pressed against his face. But it isn't just that his body is wet. It is bloated. He looks like a drowned corpse. He has this bloat to him that is clearly from that, but he is standing and walking and looking at you. And through his like wet, matted hair, you can see his eyes, and they're these cold, glowing blue eyes. And you see like a swirl of like frosty air around him as he looks at you down below. And he says,
"Who seeks to pass through my gate?"
Hark! I am Turbine Spizzles Inc., and we are trying to... I heard he was weird, guys. I heard he was weird. We're just trying to get up through these locks. We do have permission.
Yareth looks at him, and he looks horrified. He mutters to himself. He's like, he's like a weird guy, but like...
Oh, this is too weird?
This is something else. I think this is something else. Yareth tries to yell out to him. He's like, I have permission. We have permits for this. He holds up the permits that they have to pass through this area, and the lockkeeper looks at it and says,
"I have received new orders. None shall enter, none shall leave."
And after that, he raises his sword in the air, and then he swings it down. Who is on the deck right now?
I think I am. I definitely rushed up there. I'm a good little boy.
I will say that I'm on the deck.
Cool.
I'll play ball.
So everybody make a DC 13 dexterity saving throw.
Shit.
Oh, boy. Not 20.
Whoa.
And it's an 11.
So that's a 10. So that's not going to do it.
Okay. Nance, you're not feeling great. You had a perception check where you were just noticing how much your stomach felt weird. Your health is not where it was. You're kind of questioning if you should have picked up that sword or not. But as you see this creature that was seemingly has changed in some way, something kicks in. He raises his sword and he lowers it. You see other bloated corpses from his side of the wall pop up. And they raise these little crossbows that are all dripping with water. They're covered in barnacles. And they all shoot out a volley of arrows at you guys. Nance, on a nat 20, I'll say you don't take any damage at all. You're able to duck behind, I guess, Grib.
Yes.
Both Grib, Turbine.
I like to imagine Nance is just flexible enough that she just like a wacky wavy like tube man.
A bit
just
of an olive oil.
Like, yeah, like yeah. Bend between a volley of arrows. All right, Zach, how much damage are you going to do to us?
So all of the other crew members actually passed.
I'm a little hungover, okay?
In pretty much every respect, but they all did right. pass this.
All right.
And, but everyone here... who failed takes 15 points of damage.
Yikes.
Yes.
Wow.
It is bad.
That's a lot.
What are you at, Turbine?
22 out of 37.
Mop is like, Jesus Christ. And everyone is suddenly aware of the existence of Jesus Christ. Mop took the arrows fully, and so did Yareth, and the rest of the crew members were able to take half. Nance, you're not taking any. You guys are in a really bad spot. Roll a perception check and then roll initiative.
Oh, damn. That's a six on my perception.
That's a six on my perception.
I got a seven with a critical one. Just a real...
You know what? I might go ahead and I might use a luck point and just reroll that,
thank you
that
so much.
Perception thing.
Jacob, for our purposes, if you get a one, you get a one.
Great. So you don't, that doesn't like get the dirty.
It doesn't, it's
plus.
Not boosted. It's a critical fail, I think.
Perfect. I like that.
All right. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to use a luck point.
I like that. I love that for me.
I love
how
that
is. And that's great.
That's just a 10. That's not much better.
Okay.
God damn it. Fuck.
So yeah, your perception checks are pretty bad.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you.
Can
we
I
know.
Roll.
I was just hit with a bunch of arrows, so you know, forgive me for not noticing what's going on with my surroundings, Zach.
Everyone, tell me their initiative too.
Oh.
Oh, let me roll that.
Oh shoot.
18.
14.
Oh my gosh. 8.
Cool. Okay. Yareth is at the top of the order. He's looking around, panicked. He's like, they are the drowned ones. We must get out of here. He looks around and he notices, of course, the obvious, the water level isn't rising. He's like, we need to find the valves and open the valves so that the water floods this chamber.
Thank you for listening to Arc 2 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have and you want more Rotating Heroes in your life, you can listen to the Rotating Heroes podcast over on our Patreon, where you'll get access to episodes months early. That's patreon.com/rotatingheroes. You'll also be able to hear the exclusive Arc Box, which is where this crew talks about what just happened in the last episode. In this arc, we have Jacob Wysocki playing Grib, Mike Trapp playing Turbine Spizzles Inc., and Ali Beardsley playing Nancy Ray Gan. Your DM was Zach Oyama, and this episode was produced and edited by Zach Oyama and Jasper William Cartwright. That's me. Bye.